All right. We will call this conference committee to order. This is the conference committee for Senate File 1647, which in a moment will become the transportation finance bill. Why don't we start off by having the amendment in front of us moved. We first need to make a quick oral adjustment to the amendment, then Senator Kent, I'll have you move the amendment. I know we presented it in concept yesterday in the House File 4 Conference Committee, but I thought for the good of the order, we'll just go very, very, very quickly. We'll present the bill just for the record. I know there's an amendment that's going to be offered, and we'll dispense with that, and then amendment, move on. All right, what is the oral amendment, Council?
Ms. Boyd.
Mr. Chair and members, the oral amendment is strictly a typo. It's correct in the spreadsheet. It's correct in all the totals. But if you look on page 5, on line 5.33, it is the 2017 appropriation for state road construction, and that number should be 744,166, so $744,166,000 as opposed to $774 million.
All right. So Senator Kent will move the 0770 amendment to Senate File 1647. Should we just adopt the amendment? All right. All in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries. I should say the amendment with the change noted. All right, Council. Want to just run us through the numbers and then mention the millions of policies that are in here.
House speed. Do change items or run through the? Do you care?
Just the change items.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll walk through the spreadsheet maybe. It's easier. Mr. Chair and members, I believe we're going to just focus on change items and not totals because it's base spending along with some change items in all these areas. So we'll work off the spreadsheet if that's all right with everybody.
And before you start, we'll just note for the record that presented yesterday, was that yesterday?
I think so.
Right, yeah. So presented yesterday was authorization for trunk highway bonding. For Trunk Highway 53, that is not going to be carried in this bill. Presumably, it will be carried in a bonding bill. All right, thanks.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair and members, the first change item is in Aaron. We'll start with MnDOT, first of all. And you'll see three columns that say previous biennium. That's just for comparison. There are a couple change items, but they'll be in the do you have color copies? Mm-hmm. They're all in the orange column in fiscal year 2015, and there I'll point those out. And then the conference header is the 16-17 biennium and tail, so I'll note the change items in those columns, 16-17. So the first change item is on line 9 of the spreadsheet, and that is a spend down of the remaining several years ago, $15 million was paid back to the State Airports Fund from the general fund. This is the remaining appropriation from that payback for airport projects around the state, so that's $11 million over base. The next change items are under aeronautics as well, under aviation support and services on lines 19 and 20. The first is governor's recommendation to switch a small appropriation from agency management under MnDOT to aeronautics. It's spending from the state airports fund, and it was just thought that those should all be under aeronautics. And the next is an operating adjustment related to compensation increase and some other purchasing power restoration from the Trunk Highway Fund, and that's $500,000 for the biennium under aeronautics. The next change items are on lines 30 and 31 to transit. The first is a general fund one-time operating increase to Greater Minnesota Transit of $5 million over the biennium. And the next, I should note that these operating adjustments they're sprinkled throughout the agencies, and these are mostly related to the 1.8% compensation adjustment across the agencies. So this is the next one in the transit section of $70,000 for the biennium. There's no change items under passenger rail. That's just base funding. Page 2, on line 44, There was a one-time appropriation from the general fund for port development assistance of $3 million. There's another purchasing power restoration or operating adjustment under the freight section for $446,000 for the biennium. There's a one-time appropriation of $145,000 from the general fund. This is for emergency track repairs in the city of Hugo. And then there's a change item of $5 million, again, from the general fund for rail grade crossing safety in fiscal year 16. Next, we have some changes under the state road program. The first two are on 65 and 66 lines of the spreadsheet. This is under operations and maintenance of state roads. The first is, again, another what we call purchasing power restoration from the fund balance, and that totals $24.5 million for the biennium. And then there's a one-time appropriations increase over the biennium of $19.998 million. And these are all trunk highway fund changes. Next, under program planning and delivery, there are a number of changes. One is on line 74. This is basically a reappropriation of some money that was appropriated for the 2012 floods in Jay Cook State Park. That project was not ready to be handled, so that money has reverted to the trunk highway fund and is reappropriated for the same purpose. Next is Governor's Rec that the House and the Senate both had in their previous bills, and this is $1 million base increase per year for environmental management funding related to state road projects. Next is another purchasing power restoration, this one under planning delivery of $18.267 million in the biennium, and then another appropriations increase one time from the fund balance of $27.27 million for the biennium. Next is a statutory, this does not roll up into totals. This is showing new spending related to land conveyance of surplus right-of-way. This will be statutory spending offset by increased revenue for this purpose, and that will be $2.6 million for the biennium and ongoing. And next on the next page, actual state road construction, there are two changes. One reflects the spending of some anticipated federal highway funding from MAP 21, and this is anticipated to be $27.29 million. That money is deposited in the trunk highway fund when it's received from the feds and then needs to be directly appropriated for projects. Next is an appropriations increase from the trunk highway fund balance of $134.5 million over the biennium, strictly for construction. Technical people. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next item is on line 95. And this is related to the trunk highway bonding that was mentioned earlier. The bonding may be carried in another bill. We had appropriated the debt service in the delete all amendment. I believe the understanding is to keep the debt service spent here by MnDOT, even if the bonding authorization is carried elsewhere. If it turns out to not be needed, this will just cancel back to the trunk highway fund. So that's anticipated to be $12.1 million over the biennium.
When you say not be needed, that's if it... there's no bonding bill to be passed.
Mr. Chair, correct.
Okay.
If that $140 million bonding authorization does not happen.
Okay, very good.
Next is under statewide radio communications on lines 103 and 104. There's another purchasing power restoration line of $470,000 for the biennium and a small one-time appropriation of $32,000 from the general fund for the replacement of Roosevelt Tower communications tower. Weather transmitter tower, I believe. There are no increases in county state aid funds or municipal state aid funds. This will be base funding. There are two small other changes in local roads. One is a one-time appropriation from the general fund for small cities assistance, and this will be allocated according to a policy provision contained later in the bill, which will be explained. The next item here is... an item that was appropriated, if you look in the fiscal year 2015 column, $3 million was appropriated related to It was appropriated earlier in the session, in Chapter 2, earlier in the session, of $3 million to MnDOT for local road and bridge emergency disaster relief. That will cancel at the end of fiscal year 15, and not all the funds will be expended by then. So we're carrying provision that cancels the anticipated unencumbered amount of $2.38 million. You see that in the orange column. And then that amount is reappropriated in fiscal year 16. So the $3 million does not change. The $2.38 million zeroes out over 15 and 16, but it allows the funds to be spent as they're needed in the biennium. On the next page, agency management, there are several change items on lines 140 and 141. There's the other half of that shift of a state airport fund base appropriation. It's transferred from agency services to be appropriated under aeronautics instead. And then a purchasing power restoration line for $2.297 million for the biennium for agency services. And then another purchasing power restoration adjustment on line 151 under buildings of $2.4 million from Trunk Highway. And then on line 160, there is a change item related to tort claim payments. This amount is the same. It's just base spending. The only change here is that this amount used to be appropriated to management and budget. And it's felt that since MnDOT actually processes the claim payments, that this appropriation should be made under MnDOT. So that change is being made here. And you'll see the MMB reduction later in the spreadsheet. And that concludes MnDOT.
All right.
Did you want to say something? Sorry, Mr. Chair. On page 5 of the spreadsheet, there are several change items under Metropolitan Council for Metro Transit operations. One is a cancellation of a prior appropriation from 2014. It's canceled at the end of, or it's canceled the date following final enactment, I believe, in fiscal year 2015, of some unencumbered money, $29.7 million. And then the majority of that is reappropriated to Met Council for several purposes in 2016 and 2017. One is just an operating budget increase of $27.3 million in 16-17, and then there are some tails on that of $26.388 in 18-19. The next is related to the Suburban Connections Demonstration Pilot. There's some rider language about this in the bill, and that is $1 million a year one time.
And for the record, conversation between Chair Kelly and I, these tails are reflected so that those dollars can be used for operations purposes. Otherwise, you know, it would be one time, and then it can only be used for one-time types of things. But our understanding is, should something change next year, we will revisit this row, this line.
Thank you for the clarification.
And, Mr. Chair, the last change item is a $200,000 one-time appropriation from the general fund for transportation management organization funding for grants. Those are pass-through grants through Metropolitan Council. Next, in Department of Public Safety, I would say the bulk of the change items in most of these areas are related to the 1.8% compensation adjustment, and I'll run through those quickly. They're from various different funds. State Patrol, you'll see it's a 3% increase related to State Patrol and 1.8% for the rest of the department. So you'll see those on lines 196 and 197. There's some small adjustments, $6,000 over the biennium from the general fund and $33,000 from the Trunk Highway Fund. And that's under the Office of Communications and Administration. And the next is under Public Safety Support in administration of DPS, and those are on 208 and 209, $15,000 over the biennium from the general fund for salaries and insurance, and $246,000 from Trunk Highway. And then there's one-time appropriations to create emergency response teams, one in St. Cloud and one in Duluth, and this will be $450,000 per year for the biennium from the general fund. On page 6, there's a number of change items under State Patrol. First is a salaries and insurance adjustment on line 234 of $5.9 million over the biennium. The next two lines are related to a fixed-wing aircraft purchase for state patrol purposes, and this was split between the funding for this was split between Trunk Highway Fund and General Fund. There's $858,000 one time from the Trunk Highway Fund and $117,000 from the General Fund. This is related to information from the department on how much of the plane is used for Trunk Highway purposes, and the remainder was appropriated from the General Fund. Next is another statutory line item related to increasing state trooper escort rates and just allowing the commissioner to set those rates according to cost, and that will and prevent the diversion of other funds in the department to pay for those services. This is projected to be an additional $150,000 in revenue per year to the special revenue fund, and then the appropriation is statutory. Next, under commercial vehicle enforcement, there's a salaries adjustment on line 247 of $688,000 from Trunk Highway for the biennium. Capital security on 254, this appropriation is an ongoing appropriation of $1.57 million a year from the general fund. This is related to, later in the bill, is a repeal of the authorization to for capital security to have interagency agreements with other agencies around the capital complex, funding their services. Those agreements will be canceled, and then this increased appropriation will cover those costs instead. And the next line is the salaries and insurance increase of $332,000 for the biennium from the general fund. And then a salaries and insurance increase for the vehicle crimes unit on line 262 of $41,000 for the biennium. This appropriation comes from the highway user tax fund. The vehicle crimes unit investigates non-payment and other irregularities related to payment of motor vehicle sales tax and registration tax. And the reclaiming of those funds benefits the highway user tax fund, so that is where the unit is funded out of.
And it's to bring in more than these funds, correct?
I believe so, Mr. Chair.
That's the theory. All right.
Okay, and there are a number of changes on the next page in driver and vehicle services. On vehicle services, the change on start on line 276, and the first is the 1.8% salaries and insurance adjustment of $782,000 over the biennium. This is funded out of the vehicle services operating account in the special revenue fund, which is where all the vehicle services fees, filing fees and whatnot flow into and fund the operations of vehicle services. Next is a creation of a data services unit to fund to support DVS in their data practices. That appropriation is split on lines 277 and lines 292. A piece is funded by vehicle services and a piece is funded by driver services. So vehicle services is $118,000 over the biennium from special revenue. Next is an additional operating adjustment for vehicle services to fund current FTEs and increased costs of operations. This is $782,000 for the biennium, and that's ongoing from the operating account fund balance. And next is another ongoing appropriation to cover increased costs for the contract for plate manufacture and mailing and whatnot for license plates, and that is an additional $1.2 million a year from special revenue. And then the next two lines are some of this contract is funded by a base appropriation from the Highway User Tax Fund to vehicle services, and that appropriation is eliminated for fiscal year 16 and 17 just for the biennium, and is replaced with similar appropriations from the special revenue operating account. And the fund balance, as we understand it, has sufficient funds to fund that for the 2 years, and then the highway user tax appropriation comes back in 18 and 19 because there are no longer enough funds in the operating account to support that.
So we change the kind of the flow of the fees and revenue can support that activity, but that's for a future discussion.
And, Mr. Chair, several change items under driver services. Again, on line 291, a salaries and insurance increase of $1.3 million. Ongoing creation of the data services unit piece of $62,000. That's driver services share ongoing. And, again, these are from the driver services operating account and special revenue. Line 293 is an additional operating adjustment similar to vehicle services of $418,000 over the biennium ongoing. And then there's a very tiny change item. Driver services has had a base appropriation of $1,000 a year from the Trunk Highway Fund, and that appropriation is being eliminated. Do you want to say anything about that?
That's to mail letters to folks who have driven off from not paying their for their gas at the gas pump, and apparently those letters haven't been sent in many years. So we're reclaiming $2,000 for the highway user tax distribution fund.
And Mr. Chair, just two more small change items, and they're related to salaries and insurance. One is in traffic safety under DPS on line 308. That's $33,000 for the biennium from Trunk Highway. And line 315 has an increase to salaries and insurance under pipeline safety of $51,000 for the biennium, and that's from the pipeline safety account and special revenue. And then on the next page, you'll see the reduction to the base appropriation for tort claims from management and budget that was just appropriated to MnDOT instead.
Oh, we need to recess for our roll call. We'll be right back. All right, we'll come back to order. We'll finish up the spreadsheet, and then and I don't think we'll go through all the policies. If I know that breaks your heart. Just maybe whatever's different. All right, very good. Ms. Boyd.
Mr. Chair, then I would just jump to the last page of the spreadsheet. I just want to point out how the general fund shakes out and what our changes from base. I won't go through every line. Obviously, what you really need to look at is, I'd say, line 390. The orange column shows the change items from fiscal year 2015. Those are the two cancellations we talked about under emergency disaster relief and Metropolitan Council Transit. And so that's a gain of general fund revenue, you could say, of $32.08 million. And then under fiscal year 16 and 17, the yellow column, three down, you'll see that the spending is actually 62.056 over base, but the effective general fund change from base from fiscal year 16-17, taking into account the 2015 cancellations, is $29.976 million, and our target for this conference, for the transportation conference, was $30 million. For the 16-17 biennium. And then the tails target was, again, $30 million. And fiscal year 18-19, you'll see the change from base is $29.985
million. Way to be accurate. Ms. Berezovsky, let's not go through these 10,000 policies. We presented them yesterday in a public forum. So anything different from yesterday? All right.
That's been pulled out. Otherwise, all of the rest of the provisions have been heard probably more than once.
All right.
In this meeting.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Chair Kelly.
The ability for.
Oh, right. And there is that change that we included on the unreserved fund balance. Mr. Lee.
Mr. Chair and members, from the conference committee yesterday, there was increased spending from the MnDOT Trunk Highway Fund, and that comes from the unreserved fund balance of $116.4 million in fiscal 16 and $65.3 million in fiscal 17. And that represents 90% of the unreserved fund balance, less all of the previous change items that were agreed upon by the conference group yesterday. And so then the 90% of the unreserved fund balance spending is divided up. 11% of that, or $12.8 million in 16 and $7.1 million in 17, goes to MnDOT operations and maintenance. 15% goes, or $17.4 million in 16 and $9.8 million in 17, goes to program planning and delivery. And the remainder, or $86.1 million in 16 and 48 $1.3 million in fiscal 17 goes to state road construction. And after those, after that spending, the unreserved trunk highway fund balance is at $12.9 million in fiscal 16 and $7.2 million in 17. And that represents 10% of the funding after the other change items.
Great. Thank you. And that's that. And we do that on a one-time basis.
Yes.
Did you say that? Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Questions, members? All right. Senator Herr, you have a...
Oh, yes.
Amendment you wanted to offer?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I have an amendment here. Amendment A31. And this amendment is regarding the driver license provision. It's a public safety issue. And all of you may know too well about this provision here. It's been bounced around conference to conference. And so it's here, so I'm asking members to give it a chance. I heard this bill very beginning when I'm in the Senate. Now it's here, so this may be one of the chances this bill can move forward. So I ask for your support and stand by for any question.
Any questions, members? Well, Senator Jensen.
Well, Mr. Chair, I am in favor and would speak in favor of this amendment. We've heard it in our committee, and we've heard it for a few years. I have a real deep concern about the public safety when we have a situation where if you're able to get a car and have to do the things for everyday life, survival, and try to get around and not be able to, because of how we set up the system, get insurance to cover yourself and, most importantly, other people, too, that are on the road and safety things that happen. I've been very involved in no-fault insurance, and people don't understand that you actually benefit, even if you don't have a driver's license or a car, to be able to have no-fault insurance if you're hit by a car. And it's very important for us to understand that there are people that are trying to go about their daily life, trying to figure out, especially in rural areas where we don't have the type of transportation, public transportation that's available in other areas, that we try to figure out how do we get this training on driving and have them go through the safety requirements that we've set up for everybody, so that when they get behind the wheel, they know what they're doing and they can drive safely, but most importantly, be able to get insurance so that, that they're covered and that other people are covered should a tragedy or just even an accident take place. So I'm in favor of this. I think it would protect all of us to make sure that we have some availability for that insurance. And without a driver's license, you cannot get insurance to cover yourself at, or your car or whatever. So I would speak in favor of this and hope that we could vote in favor of it.
All right. Thank you. Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would really just try to briefly echo what Senator Jensen has said. As you know, I worked on the Motor Vehicle Insurance Task Force over the past year, and same issues kept coming up. You know, we have a number of uninsured motorists out there, and this is you know, seen as a contributing aspect of it, and it is a matter of public safety. I believe this is the same language that we've passed in the Senate committee and through the Senate before already, and I would, again, support doing this.
All right. Other Mr.
Chair,
Senator Herr.
Mr. Chair, I also have written support from Minnesota Chamber of Commerce and the Minnesota Agricultural Council, Midwest Food Processor Association, Minnesota Nursery Landscape Association, Minnesota Milk Producer Association, Minnesota Logging Association, Minnesota Restaurant Association, and the list go on. The list go on. You know, I think Minnesota is ready for this matter, so is expected this to come for many reasons. Public safety, economic strength, improving lives and families, both the metro and the rural. So I'd like to move that we pass this bill. I mean, this amendment, adopt this amendment.
Great. Thank you. usually don't speak to things that much as chair, but in this instance, I'll just echo the sentiments of my colleagues. And I just wanted to just mention that Senator Champion has worked, at least in the Senate, and I know Representative Hamilton, Representative Clark have worked really, really hard on this language to respond to the concerns. And I respect everyone's perspective and point of view, and I think really valid issues and concerns have been raised along the way. This issue has been around the legislature for a few years. And, you know, I think if you look at the amendment as proposed that reflects the bill language, in particular on page 5 down at the bottom there, starting on 24, the level of diligence on the forms of ID that are acceptable from other places in combination with birth certificate, I think concerns have been expressed about fraud and, you know, and people claiming to be not who they are, and this really addresses, these are government-issued documents that have a certain rise to a certain level, a certain standard in combination with birth certificates. I think there's concern about security in our in this age that we live in, and with the clearly marked for driving only purposes that would appear on the front of the license, which is also an issue that has been the subject of some discussion. The voting issues, so we have the election judge training portion in section 59. And then just to the, you know, to the larger points of public safety that our law enforcement community raises frequently, that this is really fundamentally a public safety measure. And then there's just the practical issue of the fact that thousands upon thousands of people, you know, up to 13 million people in our country live here without legal status. They're a part of our community. They're a part of every workplace. They're a fundamental part of our economy. I think that's a key reason why the business community is in such strong support. You know, they buy products and services and are at job sites, even though their status is somewhat questioned. And we do hope that Congress, at some point, you and I talked about this, Representative Kelly, the federal government somehow gets this situation under, you know, a better system and more orderly and all of that. But we can't wait for that, because we know the circumstance at the federal level is gridlock, and they're just immobilized on this particular topic. And so in the meantime, we need to do what we can at the state level in our local communities to improve people's ability to participate more safely and more easily in our community. So I think it's good, and I think it's measured, and I don't think it has nearly the same kind of political implications that it maybe did a few years ago, that people, just regular folks in our neighborhoods and communities, are understanding that these are our neighbors and people we go to school with and people we work alongside. So with that, I will suspend. Thank you. Representative, or Senator, Chair Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And certainly understand the amendment, and we heard the bill in committee. I guess as we've gone along, in my opinion, it would be nice to have this bill traveling on its own, and if we could have gotten the both to pass that through to have that conversation. My fear here is we are tasked also now with crafting a lights on transportation bill, and this is what we're down to, and to hear this going on at this point in time. Now we put our bill in jeopardy, which has many, many implications there. I appreciate the work and the passion that has gone on to this conversation, and I know everybody takes it very seriously. Unfortunately, at this point in time, we'll have to be putting this on transportation. Right.
Anything further, members? Nope. All right. So Senator Herr renews his motion to amend our amendment with the SCS 1647A31 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no?
No.
Motion.
Division.
Division. All in favor, raise your hands. All opposed, raise your hands. There being insufficient votes on both sides of the table, the motion does not prevail. All right. Are there any other amendments? Are there any other questions? All right. Do we need to make a final motion? Ms. Berezovsky?
Yes.
All right. Can you help us do that? And then all the like giving staff direction and all that. All right. Do we need to adopt the spreadsheet? All right. All right. So Senator Kent renews her motion to adopt the A150770 amendment to Senate File 1647 as orally amended. And extends her motion to give staff the guidance to make whatever technical typo, wordo, reno changes are needed so that the bill is in good order when it comes to the floor of the Senate and then the House. Anything further? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion carries. So, members, I expect this conference committee report will be ready for signature sometime in the morning, we hope. And so we'll let you know by email. What, Matt? he looked surprised. Sometime in the morning, I think we intend to take it up as soon as we can when we get onto the Senate floor and send it back over to you for final vote. And so we'll either let you know where to come sign it or we'll bring it to you to sign the conference committee report. Anything further? With that, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.